The following podcast is part of the MindBodySpirit.fm podcast network. Meditation doesn't have to be a solo practice. Meditation is more fun with friends. Looking for a way to drop in and hang out at the same time? Join us online at Omega Institute for a meditation party with self-proclaimed meditation nerds Dan Harris, host of the 10% Happier podcast, Sebene Selassie, and Jeff Warren. This three-day retreat will stream live from Omega's Hudson Valley campus May 17th to 19th. Don't miss the party. Reserve your spot at eomega.org/party today.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Get in the DeLorean, because in this episode, we're going back to the 80s. This is the first in a series on daily life as we remember it during a brighter, more hot neon time in America's history. In this episode, we recall the phenomenology and pace of life when your only options are rotary phones that belong to an entire household, music on vinyl, cassette, or terrestrial radio, and eventually CDs, and also the wonder of dual cassette boomboxes.
It's totally tubular.
Welcome to the podcast where it's all about living your love story and making your life a story where love wins. My name is Sienna.
And my name is Toast. We're married and we've been partners in life, love, and music since 2001, over 20 years. On this show, we share our life as an Asian American lesbian couple.
Some of our favorite topics are positive spirituality, holistic health, sometimes cats,
lesbian alert,
and other things we hope are entertaining, uplifting, and helpful for living your love story.
So here we go. Welcome to our home studio in the Pacific Northwest.
Welcome in. Okay, this episode, we hope, is going to just kind of give you a shot of brightness, optimism, fun, and hope. And for those of us who are alive and conscious, in other words, old enough, in 1985,
to be aware of mainstream popular culture in America in 1985, it will bring you a blast from that past. So this episode was inspired, I guess, by two things. One was finally seeing, didn't we see it based on somebody's recommendation, that's this documentary?
Yes, a good friend of mine said, you have to watch the We Are the World documentary.
Okay. So it's called We Are the World, the story behind the song.
And it's on Netflix.
Yes, Netflix. So we saw that. And then also, we do follow here and there some 80s Instagram. You know those accounts? Some of you may be aware of those social media accounts that
it's post. It's like a retro.
Yeah, that post little
funny things.
Artifacts or jokes that refer to, oh, remember when, yada, yada.
Remember when, or they'll show you something and they're like, does anyone know, is anyone old enough to know what this is?
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So one night, Toast and I, we were just like laughing so hard at all the different things on a certain Instagram account. And anyways, all of it just really reminded us of our childhood and all the things that we had growing up in the 80s.
Yeah.
But especially We Are the World. Like, I think watching that really opened the doorway to like just remembering that time. Mm. And I think because it was based around a song, mm-hmm. we had a memory about it. Mm-hmm. Where we were, how we felt about the song, all the different things, and even how you feel about certain artists on that song. Mm-hmm. So you have all these memories like coming together. And so I think that's why the documentary was so emotional for me. Mm. And I loved it. I just loved it.
Okay. So for those of you, for the one person who may not know, We Are the World is the name of a song that was written and recorded specifically to raise money for famine relief in Africa. So the name of the organization was called USA for Africa.
And it was written by Lionel Richie and Michael Jackson.
Yes. And
it was produced. Produced.
By?
By.
Are you going to finish my sentence?
No, you can
or is this
say
a tag team sentence? Produced by Quincy Jones.
Who also has an amazing documentary on Netflix. But anyways.
Okay. That's a whole nother episode.
Yeah.
Okay. So this song was released, was recorded, written, recorded, and released in 1985. In the same year that Whitney Houston debuted, right, to the mainstream. But that was later.
So that is why she's not amongst these superstars.
Yeah, because all the other names on this, the other artists in We Are the World, I mean, Bruce Springsteen, Michael Jackson, Lionel Richie, Bob Dylan, Kenny Rogers. Remember Kenny Rogers? So, and Cyndi Lauper. And we're like, where's Whitney Houston? And we realized,
where's Whitney Houston? Yeah. But you'll also see why Prince is not on here, on there. Mm-hmm. You won't get a full answer of why Madonna is not on there. She really is the one that was missed,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
But anyways.
Okay. So the biggest thing that the documentary reminded me of, that I was like, oh my gosh, that's right, was, hopefully this is not a spoiler for anybody, at the end of the documentary, they showed when the song, the completed studio recording, was, you know, debuted to the public. And what I had forgotten was that at the time, somehow, all of us knew that the debut would happen at a certain time of a certain day where all the radio stations would play the song for the first time.
Yeah.
And that was somehow
so
we
neat.
All knew that because they were promoting it, I guess, on the radio, you know, for, I guess, a few weeks.
Yeah.
I don't remember specifically.
Without having a notification pop up on your phone.
Right. with no hashtags, with no email campaign.
No email.
It was just somehow, hey, people listened to the radio back then. And I don't know, but I bet the percentage of the population that listens to the radio has dropped so low because now.
I think so. I mean, we barely listen to the radio.
Yeah. So it must have been on the radio that the DJs
we're promoting.
Yeah, like we're going to debut this song by all of these artists at a certain time. And I'm pretty sure I must have been listening to the radio at that time for that specific purpose, although I don't have a specific memory of that. Do you?
Okay. I don't, but I do remember all the hoopla about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I absolutely do.
And I remember it being a big thing. Like, it was an enormous hit.
Yeah.
I remember buying. I remember, we owned the recording because we bought it.
Mm-hmm.
And all the kids at school were like, yeah, we love this song. Yeah. It's, okay. So that's how what was inspired, or that's what this episode was inspired by, is kind of like seeing this documentary. And just kind of being able to go back in time, right, in your memory, and realize in a fresh way that you actually experienced that. Like, you lived in that world that did have a sense of more hope. There was a brightness to it. There was an optimism. I mean, all the, gosh, 80s fashion, right? Like, the bright colors. Yeah, just the vibe was so.
Well, we did have the best melodies.
Melody-driven music.
Yes.
Yes.
I will
say. The hooks.
And we're still the winners for for the melodies. Anyways.
Okay.
It was, yeah.
Yeah. But it was a real catalyst for once again realizing in this, you know, here we are in this particular era. And when we're recording this episode, it's 2024. And being able to look back and just appreciate, even in retrospect, there's a special kind of appreciation for that past, that particular era.
Mm-hmm.
Just realizing that, wow, at that time, we had certain characteristics of daily life that we didn't know to be grateful for.
Yeah.
Just the slowness of it, the down-to-earthness of it.
Mm-hmm.
The optimism, the exuberance of it, the sense of solidarity within the culture and society at large, generally speaking, you know, compared to now.
I really miss the simplicity. And what I mean by that is just not having so much thrown at us every single day.
Information.
Yeah. All the emails, text messages that come through. Mm-hmm. If you do look at social media, all the stuff that's available there, it's overwhelming and it's too much. And that's why I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful that our bodies, our cells, our cellular memory, that we do remember a time before all of this stuff.
Mm.
This did all the digital things, all the streaming things.
Yeah. Whew, everything it's a on lot. Demand.
It is a lot. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we grew up at a time when, you know, you didn't get everything instantly. You had to wait. If you called your friend on the phone and the line was busy,
with the busy signal sounded
to just
like
wait.
This. Burp, 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 right? Wasn't that what it was?
Yeah. And you had to just wait.
Wait,
you know,
maybe we
you
even
couldn't.
Maybe we even need to explain what busy means.
Well, let's move on.
Okay.
Let's just take the moment here.
Okay.
And then we will move on to things.
All right. So we're going to take a short break. And then when we come back, we're just going to go down memory lane, go down a list of objects, items, experiences that were part of daily life before information pollution.
So recently, Toast and I visited an antique store. We covered this in one of the podcasts about the Flavel House. But we visited an antique store that had all different types of, like, the old-fashioned rotary phone, but an older one, not a more modern
Way
rotary phone.
Older than the 80s, okay.
and then another phone that was even older than that. But we were so surprised at how heavy it was.
Yes.
It was like
a
heavier
weight.
Than a bowling ball.
It was like a dumbbell picking up that handset.
It was It was pretty incredible. Yeah. But so many of you may not even remember the rotary telephone.
Yep. You have to see it in movies nowadays.
You have
they
to
don't
see
make
it.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But now when I think about it, when I think about the rotary phone,
the rotary dial.
It was very comforting. Something about it was very comforting. The way the sound of, you know, especially if you had a lot of zeros,
yes.
having to call and the the how it spins back. You
yes.
know, you're like putting your finger in the little circle with the zero, and you have to go all the way around and dial it and let it go, and you hear the whole thing coming back. It was very just meditative is what I would say.
Compared to now,
compared to now. Uh-huh. And then we moved from the rotary phone to a push-button phone. Beep, 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 beep.
Oh, did you have that in your house? I don't remember ever having that in my house.
Yes,
we did.
Wow,
fancy.
And then you moved to a wall phone with giant phone cord.
Yes.
So you can walk all over the place.
That was either avocado green or orange, right?
Right.
With the shag carpet.
Right.
Yeah.
But back in those days, so we talked a little bit about the busy signal, you know, how today, basically, you can't reach, if you call someone on your cell phone, which most people don't even bother to call people these days, but if you do and you don't reach your friend or whoever you're trying to reach, what do? You just text them.
Mm-hmm.
Then you text them again, did you get my text? You can also send an email.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Urgent, please get back to this email. Mm-hmm. But when we just had phones, what did we have to do? You call, you get a busy signal.
Either the phone starts ringing, right?
Yeah. You sound like a cat.
Yeah. And then you never know who's going to pick up because it's the phone
and
belongs
you don't know,
to the entire house.
Yeah, and you don't even know if someone will pick up.
Right.
But, yeah.
The other thing that might happen when you call is that instead of the phone ringing, you would hear, now I'm going off my memory. I don't know if this is correct.
Okay.
Okay. I think it sounded like this.
Beep, 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 beep,
yep.
Beep.
Is Pretty that close. What you remember?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yep. And that sound indicated that the phone you were dialing or calling into was being used already.
So or off the hook.
Right. So the handset was not
connected
on the phone itself. Mm-hmm. So it was ostensibly somebody was on the line. Somebody was phoning. So that was called the busy signal.
Yes.
Which meant you just had to call back another time and hope
that
you didn't get a busy signal.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you didn't get things instantly, mm-hmm. you know. And as we're explaining this, I'm listening to Toast explain this and I'm like, this is kind of ridiculous that we're even talking about this.
No,
but it's not because
it's history now.
There are a lot of people
and you have
that
to educate people.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. And sometimes I miss the days of a normal telephone that is plugged into the wall, mm-hmm. a normal telephone where you are not having EMFs blasted in your brain and head.
Yeah.
So anyways.
The other thing with the phone was that most of the time I would bet next to these phones, these landline phones, there would be a pile or a stack of like scratch paper
mm-hmm.
and a pen
mm-hmm.
so that you could take a message.
Yeah, write down a message.
So that when somebody called and, you know, oh no, your dad's not home, and mm-hmm. somebody left, and you have to say, like, okay, here's the message.
Mm-hmm.
Pass the message on.
Or mm-hmm. there might be a rectangular machine next to the phone
okay.
with a cassette tape in it that would be hooked up to the phone so that if no one answered, this is a little more fancy, though.
I have a distinct memory of
when you folks got your answering machine.
No, not when we got it, but when I encountered it in the wild.
Yeah.
I was shocked. I was like, what is this?
Yeah. But I felt like that about the Betamax.
Okay.
When you could record mm-hmm. favorite TV shows, mm-hmm. Pre-VHS, mm-hmm. pre-compact disc. Pre-Laserdisc.
Oh, yeah.
And what do they have now? Blu-ray.
Do they still have that?
I don't know. I don't know.
We've
people
never had
aren't
any
even
of those.
Watching. I think people just stream it,
yeah.
right? So,
right?
So I don't know. Anyways. But yeah, an answering machine mm-hmm. where you would leave a recording, you know? So anyways.
I remember calling. I want to share this. I remember calling my one of my best friends who lived right across the street from us, right? But I called and then, you know, the phone rang. And then
that's a good phone
somebody
ring.
Somebody picked up. Oh, thank you. And then somebody picked up and I heard, you know, my friend's father's voice or mother's voice. I forget what, but it said, hello, you've reached the residence of blank. We're not here right now, but if you leave your name and your phone number, we'll call you back. I was a young kid and I heard that. And so after that,
were you like, Mr. Yoshimura, it's me.
No. The tone went off, you know, after the tone, leave your name and your phone number and we'll call you back. And so the tone went off beep, and all I said was Toast 9597, you know, and I left the number and then I just hung up and I was like, what the hell was that? I was like, that was so weird. I would never forget that.
Wow.
That was my first experience of the answering machine in the wild.
That is so neat. Okay, but let's move on to cassette tapes.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Now, if you were lucky to be living in the 80s and if you were well-loved, how do you know that you were well-loved? You were the recipient of a mixed cassette tape.
Mm-hmm.
If you were a great lover, a lover of people, a lover of your friend, a lover of your lover, then you were a maker of a mixed cassette tape. Now, what is this?
Mixtape.
Okay.
You were able to buy blank cassettes. I'm trying to think. It's kind of like having, like how you have a Google Drive now, right? Or a Dropbox. Yeah. It's like a blank storage medium.
Mm-hmm.
The medium for storage, in the case of cassettes, is this magnetic tape. And you could use a boombox that had dual cassette cartridge.
People might not know what a boombox is. A boombox is a portable radio that also had the capacity to play cassette tapes. And if you got the fancy one, like Toast said, then you had dual capacity to...
You could have two different cassettes in
cassettes,
there.
Right. And this is ideal because this is how you could really make the mixtapes with more ease.
Yes. So you could either use the blank cassette tape to record songs off of the radio. So you'd have to wait.
Mm-hmm.
You'd have to listen to the
radio. Not instant.
You could call the disc jockey.
You could call and request your favorite song.
Using the rotary phone.
Yep. All the waiting, people.
And you could request a song and just hope it came on and that you weren't in the bathroom when it came on or whatever, right? And then when you heard it, boom, you would slam down, play and record.
Right.
You'd have
to press
two buttons on the cassette player and that would start the recording.
Right.
The blank tape would start recording whatever was on the radio. And you just had to do your best, to cut off the back announcing of the song at the end. Anyway, so you could do it that way, or
you could not edit it though. You had to do live editing.
Yeah.
So you had to be right there and right when the song was ending and you knew this was the end of the song, you had to risk losing some of the song.
Oh yeah, you would totally lose some
or
of the song. Yeah.
Get the announcer back announcing the song.
Right.
So you had to just be ready to press.
Yeah. That's if you were recording off the radio, or if you had purchased the music from a record store, from a music
from
store.
From walking into a store.
Yeah, like Tower Records.
Buying it.
Yeah. Then you could put, the music you had purchased into one of the cassette playback. What do you call those?
Yeah, cassette players.
Cassette players. Because remember, you had two on this machine, right? So you would press play on that one. And record on your blank cassette.
Yep.
And then you would, use your impeccable taste in music to curate what songs you were going to put on this blank tape. And the trickiest part, I would say, was estimating how much blank tape was left.
Yes. If you could fit.
Could it accommodate one more song?
One more song.
No.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yep. And then, kind of the fun part, I think, then you took the paper insert.
Okay.
Out of the blank cassette tape.
The J card, the sleeve.
Is that what it's called,
the
J card? You took that out, and then you could handwrite all the songs going down, any little notes. You would decorate the spine, write a wish, write a nice thing, something. But that was a mixtape. Here's the thing. Here's the thing with a mixtape or with any cassette tape. One of the most heartbreaking things is when you are playing your mixtape, playing the cassette tape that you bought with your hard-earned money, and you open up, you're playing it, and then when you stop it and you open it up and you pull your cassette out, and you see the tape
spooling out
of your cassette.
You don't want to see that.
You don't want to see that because then it's like, oh my gosh. So then you get a pencil. You stick it in the hole of your cassette tape and sometimes you're trying with your finger, but you are trying to manually wind that tape and get it back into the cassette. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's impossible. Sometimes the tape is just too loose in certain areas of that cassette. Mm-hmm. And it's a goner.
You just have to mechanically.
You have to let it go.
Yeah, use finesse.
Yeah.
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 Also, too, there was also the danger of very hot days. Now, especially in Hawaii, there would be very hot days. And, it gets much hotter in the car. So you just have to be conscious that there's a danger of the cassette melting a bit, right? And warping.
Pain.
Warping in the heat.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. Okay. I think we need to do another episode to really talk about the fashion Because okay. that's a whole other that's, thing.
Yes.
All right. So why don't we leave the listeners with that? Anything else okay. with music on that topic?
Oh, well, my gosh. Okay. No, I want to say something.
Yeah, okay. You okay. have one more. I have one more. Okay.
Okay. So talk about waiting, right? The whole thing, the theme seems to be simplicity, but also the culture we're in now, the feeling right now is we are able to get everything so instantly.
Yes.
That we have a lack of patience, right. a lack of stillness. Yeah. We get all crazy if we have to wait. Talk about waiting, right? If you yeah. had your cassette tape and you loved a certain song, you couldn't just play it on repeat.
Right.
Nope. You couldn't just press one button to just start the track over.
Which nope. you could do in CDs, and that was like, whoa.
You could
that
do
was
it
the
on
next,
CDs.
That was the next step. It was yes. like, wow.
Yes, yeah. yes. And just hope your CD isn't scratched.
Right.
Right? You had to press rewind and guess and guess. Okay. Is that enough? Oh, no. A little more. Rewind yeah. a little yep. more. Yep. And then sometimes you had the fancy machines. Yeah. That if you press, what were you pressing? Rewind and play?
I think it was rewind and play.
Yeah, you press the two buttons and it would automatically stop at the start of your song.
Yeah, because it could detect the silences.
The space, right?
Yeah.
We were a patient folk back then.
And we didn't realize it.
We did not realize yeah. it, nope. Yeah. What did you want to share?
I wanted to share about the choice when making a mixtape.
Okay.
That comes about when it's time to switch from recording on side A mm-hmm. to recording on side B.
Okay.
The choice is this. When you get to the end of your last song on side A, and side A is complete, you now have the choice. Do you, on side B, begin recording at the very start of side B? Or do you simply flip it over and start recording on side B just where it happens to be? Because remember, side A, right? You
right.
finished recording. Mm-hmm. There's like, who knows, like a minute and a half of mm-hmm. blank tape left. Maybe there's 30 seconds of blank tape left on side A, but you're not going to use it. You can't
fit a
song in
there,
I already have
an emotional reaction to that.
So the choice you have is when you flip it over on side B, because the experience that you could give the listener of your mixtape is that when they get to the end of side A, they could flip it over.
Nope.
And immediately have the next song be right there. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Did you do that for mine?
Do you know this?
I know what you're talking about, but that was never an issue for me because
okay.
my OCD would say, mm-hmm. you rewind that side.
When you flip it over at side B,
I'm
you rewind,
rewind
first.
It. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Right. I think that's what I did for yours.
Okay.
I think that was the general practice.
Okay.
I think that was the standard.
Thinking out of the box, if you're doing it like you're saying as an option.
Well, I do tend
My
to pride myself on
goodness.
Thinking in an alternative
what
way.
What you're saying, I get the ease for the recipient of this mixtape mm-hmm. and the experience, the seamless experience, being able to just flip it over and mm-hmm. start it. But ooh, makes me so uncomfortable.
And there's also the fact that there were cassette players that would automatically play to the very end of one side mm. and automatically start playing the other side.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
So yeah. Anyway.
All right.
These are the intricacies that, you know, we had to deal with. Mm-hmm. In the mm-hmm. 80s.
Yep.
All of this care mm-hmm. and attention that nowadays with the streaming services and you just, you know, tap, 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 boom.
You know,
hear the song. Oh, I want to go to the middle of the song. Just tap. There, you're yeah. in the middle of the song.
Right. You have your lyrics. You yeah. have everything. Now you have liner notes.
Yeah. I want to make a playlist. Boom,
so
boom,
now,
boom, boom.
Right.
There, it's done.
And it's free. Spotify. You know, mm-hmm. it's like, it's really amazing now. So everyone should be so lucky to just receive a playlist from someone that loves them, or you should be making them for people you love.
All right. With that, we will leave you with that, with the rotary phone memories, with cassette tapes, and stay tuned for our next episode, and we will be talking about beautiful 80s fashion.
Which we thought, I guess we thought it was beautiful at the time, or some version of beautiful. I don't know. We thought it was fun. We hope you had fun during this episode. We invite you to join us on the next one. Until then, as always, live your love story.
Hello, I'm Dr. Stephen Farber, and I am an author, teacher, psychotherapist, and shamanic practitioner. On my podcast, Healing for Your Soul, I welcome some amazing guests and introduce you to some healing techniques like earth magic, working with nature and animals, and really getting to the heart of what is keeping you stuck. I want to help you deepen your spirituality and let go of blocks that are holding you back. Let me help you in this journey called life. Part of the MindBodySpirit.fm podcast network. Subscribe and follow wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss an episode.